Let me ask you a question. Have you ever stood personally in the very audience chamber of God Almighty? Show of hands. Have you ever stood in the very audience chamber of God Almighty and heard His very word? Today, you will do exactly that. This message, which is absolutely vital, is so important because these are exactly God's words for today. And I'm going to show you right from the very Word of God that this is exactly God's Word. And we need to take it very much to heart and be transformed by it. Will you... Paul, we are recording, are we not? All right. Will you turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, verse 11. Jeremiah 23, verse 11. Both prophet and priest are godless. Even in my temple I find their wickedness, declares the Lord. Therefore, their path will become slippery. They will be banished to darkness, and there they will fall. I will bring disaster on them in the year they are punished, declares the Lord. Among the prophets of Samaria, I saw this repulsive thing. They prophesied by Baal and led my people Israel astray. And among the prophets of Jerusalem, who should have been better, I have seen something horrible. They commit adultery and live a lie. They strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns from his wickedness. They are like Sodom to me. The people of Jerusalem are like Gomorrah. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty says concerning the prophets. I will make them eat bitter food and drink poisoned water. Because from the prophets of Jerusalem, ungodliness has spread throughout the land. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hope. There's nothing wrong with having hope. There is a terrible thing wrong with having a false hope. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord says, you will have peace. And to those who follow the stubbornness of their hearts, they say, no harm will come to you. But which of them, and this is the text for this morning, but which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see or hear His word? Who has listened and heard His word? See, the storm of the Lord will burst out in wrath, a whirlwind swirling down on the heads of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until He fully accomplishes the purposes of His heart. In the days to come, you will understand it clearly. I did not send these prophets, yet they have run with their message. I did not speak to them, yet they have prophesied. And here's our text again. But if they had stood in my counsel, what would happen if you actually stood in God's counsel? If right now we could all be teleported to the very throne room of heaven and stand before the Lord Almighty, what would we hear? He says, if they had stood in my counsel, here's what would have happened. They would have proclaimed my words to the people and would have turned them from their evil ways and from their evil deeds. Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Now let me say some very important things as we start this morning. Number one, if you're sitting here today, this message is 100% for you, because one of two things is either true. Either you are a believer in Jesus Christ, and if you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, if you are genuinely saved, then here's what the Word of God says. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Here's what the Word of God says if you're a believer. Look with me. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5. Here's what it says. If you're a believer, read this, because this is your mail and my mail. Here's what it says. If you're a believer, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. He says, if you're a believer, you are a spiritual priesthood. Now, Jeremiah 23:11 said, both prophets and priests. Now, if you're a believer, what are you? Is Jeremiah 23 written to the prophets and the priests? Is this your mail and my mail? Before we run off, look over at 2 Peter 2, 9. You are, not you will be, not you might be, not you can be, to the true believer, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. You're a believer, are you a priest? Unconditionally. Is Jeremiah 23 addressed to the prophets and the priests? Is this your mail? If you're not a believer, and you may very well be here today and think you're a believer and not be, but if you are, you need to hear this too, because you are being deceived by people who call themselves prophets and priests, just like the people of Jeremiah's day were. And you need to listen to this message. So let me say one thing that Richard Owen Roberts has said on numerous occasions in my hearing. If you're sitting here today, this message is for you, but if you're a believer, listen with both ears. How many mouths did God give us? How many ears did He give us? Do you think that's a coincidence? God gave you two ears. Why? One ear, you have to hear for yourself. This is my mail. The other ear, you have to listen for other people. Because if you're a priest, you are responsible to carry this message to other people. We'll look at that in a minute. To be absolutely honest with the Word of God, point number one, we need to always ask ourselves, to whom was it written and when was it written? Thank you, Jan. To whom was it written and to when was it written? One of the greatest problems of today is that people take verses that were written to a given group of people who met a given group of criteria, and they give it to everyone. And we're going to look at that in a minute. But I want you to look at when and to whom this is written. This is written to whom? God's people. Not to lost people. Notice what he says. Look with me. Verse 13. And led who? The end of verse 13, Jeremiah 23, who were led? My people. Who is he talking about? Is he talking about Babylon? Is he talking about Egypt? Or does he talk about Samaria, the capital of Israel? Does he talk about Jerusalem, the capital of Judah? To whom is he talking? God's people. This message is to God's people. When is it written? Well, let me give you a description of when it's written. First of all, it's written when it says, verse 11, both the prophets and the priests are godless. Is there godlessness among pastors and priests today? Is that the affair, is that the situation today? Somebody said to me about getting fingerprinted, they said, well, you know, you shouldn't really need to be fingerprinted. You're a pastor. Let me ask you today, going by the evidence, did pastors need to be fingerprinted to work with kids today? Is there ungodliness among the prophets and the priests? Even in my temple I find their wickedness. Is there public wickedness among the people of God today? Do you realize, in 1900, 110 years ago, 1899, 110 years ago, the divorce rate in the United States was 5%. By the 1950s, it had risen from 5%, one out of 20 marriages ending in divorce, 5%, it had risen to 25%. But do you know what the divorce rate was among committed Christians who regularly attended worship, Bible study, and prayer? You know what the divorce rate was among them? 5%. Among the society, it was a quarter. Among God's people, it was 1 out of 20. So Billy Graham could say with assurance, the family that prays together stays together. You know that the divorce rate is now in America reaching 60%? Do you know what it is among believers? 3% higher than among the general population. Let me ask you, is wickedness in the church today? Number two, look down with me at verse 13. It says, among the prophets of Samaria, I saw this repulsive thing. They prophesied by Baal and led my people Israel astray. Are people being led astray today? Are people convinced that they're good people and they'll be in heaven? Who here has talked to someone who doesn't believe they're a good person and they'll be in heaven in the last week, in the last month? Have you talked to one person that would admit, I'm not worthy to go to heaven, I think I'm going to go to hell? That didn't think that was a cheerful thing and they were happy about it. Are people being led astray today? Number three, look at verse 14. Among the prophets of Jerusalem, I've seen this horrible thing. They commit adultery and live a lie. Is sexual sin rampant today? Do you remember the days when it was unthinkable that a couple would live together before they were married? I mean, if you were living together before marriage, that would have just been, oh. Find a couple today that doesn't live together before they're married. Bring them to me. I've met a couple. I've met a handful. Not very many. Is sexual sin rampant today? Number four. Look with me down. Right below that, the middle of verse 14, it says, they strengthen the hand of evildoers. Or, to speak in a more general term, a less literal term, they encourage evildoers. Are evildoers today feeling encouraged? are evildoers today feeling encouraged? Do sinners feel perfectly comfortable sinning? And in fact, if anybody tries to tell them it's wrong, what is immediately told about them? Stop judging me. You're a hater. You're intolerant. Now, are we living in days exactly like Jeremiah's? Are the same things that Jeremiah wrote about in his day happening today? Yes or no? So, this is written to priests, which is everyone here who's a true believer, and it's written in a time when the prophets and priests are ungodly, when sin is in the church, when people are being led astray, when there's sexual sin, and when sinners are being encouraged. Is this our mail, and is it written for today? If it is, then here's the message we have to hear. What is it that God wants to say? He says it twice. Look with me at verse 18. He says, who among those who are preaching my word, who of them, verse 18, has stood in the counsel of the Lord? Now let me say to you, you need to be very serious about this, because I hear people all the time saying, well, you know, I go to this church, or so-and-so said they go to that church. As long as they go to a church, does Jeremiah say, as long as you go someplace to some prophet, you're okay? He says, who? He asked the question, which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord? How do you determine that? How do you determine who has stood in the counsel of the Lord? How do you figure out who's really representing God and who's lying to you through their teeth? How do you figure out who's been deceived and is deceiving you right along with them? And who is honestly representing God? Anybody here? I'm sure all of you have been to a multitude of churches. Anybody here ever been to a church where a person got up behind the pulpit like I'm standing today and said, excuse me, my name is Tom. I'm a heretic. I'm here to damn your soul to hell forever. Listen to me and I'll lie you right into a blazing fire for all eternity. Anybody ever been in a church when somebody stood and said that? I pick on him a lot, but rightfully so. Joel Osteen. And if you listen to Joel Osteen, God help you, because you're going to need it. Joel Osteen will stand at the pulpit and hold up a Bible and go, this is my Bible. Repeat after me and everybody there. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. And then he proceeds to claim to represent God. Has he stood in the counsel of God? Well, he's got 18,000 people. I remember the time that we went to creation for the last time that we ever went to creation, and I've never been back again, and I will not go back as long as it remains what it is today. And a man got up and misrepresented the gospel in every way. And when we got done, we were trying to have a Bible study with the kids, and one of the kids said, listen, why should we believe you, Pastor? He's speaking to 100,000 people. You don't have 100,000 people. What makes him wrong and you right? That's what Jeremiah is asking. Which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord? How do you know? Is it popularity? Is it that you feel good when you leave church? Is it, boy, I like to listen to them? Is it that they wear a $7,000 suit? Is it as, what's her name? Kathy, what's her name? Rings on her fingers. Joyce Myers. Is it because they have rings on their fingers like Joyce Myers? Or fly a private jet? And you say, why are you naming names? I'm naming names because the Bible named names. You can find it in 2 Timothy. tell. Did they hear from God or not? Am I misleading you or not? Who has stood in the counsel of God? And this is a vital question that we need to answer with all our soul, because every one of us, if you're a true believer, are going to be held accountable to God for being a priest. And just like these prophets and these priests, every one of us, if you're a true believer, is going to be judged by God. Did we stand in His counsel or not? God defines what it is. Look with me at verse 22. Look with me at verse 22. God defines exactly what it is for a person who has stood in His presence. Here's what He says. If they had stood in My counsel, if they had stood in My counsel, they would. Now, does that mean that we can trust on the reliability of the Word of God, that this is the message of a God for a day like this, of a person who has truly stood in God's counsel? Yes or no? Are the following definitions going to define who has listened to God and who hasn't? Is this the standard you should judge every preacher you listen to, and that you can be assured that you, as a believer, will be held to? Can you trust that? When He says, if they have stood in My presence, they would have. Can you trust that God means what He says? I see faces going, oh, I don't know. Can you trust that God means what He says? And so therefore, has God laid out for us in a day, all of you agreed, we're living in a day just like Jeremiah's day. I'm not saying this is the message for every day, but for a day like we live in, like Jeremiah lived in, this is the message. Anyone who doesn't proclaim it hasn't stood in God's counsel. And anyone who does has. Is that true? Here's what He says. If they had stood in My counsel, number one, they would have proclaimed My words to the people, to My people. Now, what do you mean? Because everybody claims to read out of the Bible. I want you to look at what the false preachers did that God says was the detestable things. Look at what they did. Verse 17. He says, this is not preaching My word, even if they quote from the Bible. Are angels the only ones that quote from the Word of God? Does Satan quote the Word of God? Yes, he does. Do demons quote the Word of God? Do false preachers quote the Word of God? Here's what it says. First of all, number one, they keep saying to those who despise Me, the Lord says you will have peace. They say to people who could care less about the things of God. I was talking to somebody yesterday, called me up. Oh, I'm desperate. I'll do anything. I need money. He'd called me up a few weeks ago, and I took him to the grocery store and bought him some groceries. Called me up on Saturday night. Oh, I'm so desperate. I need to take a Bible to my friend across. And I need money to take the Bible to my friend. Literally what he said. I said, well, that's wonderful. It's a blessing you're calling on Saturday night. We have church tomorrow morning. You come to church, you can meet with the deacons, and we'll be glad to help you out and get that Bible to your friend. Nope, can't do that. Don't have a ride. I've got great news for you. I'll come and pick you up tomorrow morning. I'll be there at 8:30. Nope, absolutely not. Can't do that. But why don't you you meet with the deacons and call me after the service and I'll tell you where to bring the money. No, just the money. Despises the things of God. I'd rather get roasted alive than go to church. How many of you know people that just despise the things of God? If you said we're going to have a prayer meeting, come on over. They just throw up their hands and go, run in the opposite direction. Oh, we're going to study the Bible. I remember the first time I took Mark Hamilton down to meet Charles Stewart. When I was working to bring him to Christ, and he said, what are we doing? I said, we're going to study the Bible. How long? I said, oh, we usually get done about midnight. It was then about 7:30. Maybe 1 in the morning. He said, for 4 hours, what else are we going to do? Study the Bible some more? Do some prayer? And he said, oh, are you kidding me? You see, unsaved people despise the things of God. They hate them. But false prophets say to those who despise me, you'll have peace. Are there verses in the Bible you can quote about God giving peace? You betcha. If you give them to a single person who despises God, you are a false prophet. I was there yesterday. A friend of David's. I won't say who, but it was a friend of David's. And I asked, are you coming to church tomorrow? Oh, no, I couldn't come to church. I was in church all day today. Well, he'd been hanging out at our house most of the day, but he was there for a few minutes while they had a funeral for his grandfather. I'm sorry for the family. That's a terrible loss. And he said immediately, oh, but he's in a better place today. Is he? I don't know. I've never met the man. You don't know. But to assume he's in a better place? What are the odds? Is it 50-50 he's in a better place? Is that what Jesus said? Half the people will be in a better place when they die, half of them won't? Or did Jesus say what? Few. Many. Many are on the road to destruction. Narrow is the way to life. Only a few find it. Only. Not just a few. Only a few. People say all the time, I've heard pastors get up in front of congregations, some of the pastors that used to stand in this pulpit, and say to people who had no more interest in the things of God than they did into being turned into a pool of jello, oh, they're in a better place today. And they said with their own mouth to people who despise God, you will have peace. False prophet or true prophet? Here's the second thing it does. It says, and to all who follow the stubbornness of their hearts. You know any stubborn people who are going their own way? I'll do it my way. I'll worship God, but I'll worship in my own way. I've got my way. Don't tell me how to do it. I know God just as good as anybody else. I'll do it my own way. My way is just fine. To all who follow the stubbornness of their hearts, they, who's they? The false prophets, say, no harm will come to you. No harm will come to you. You follow the stubbornness of your heart, let me assure you, harm will come to you. And it'll be harm of an unbelievable nature. But false prophets are going to tell you something different. You know how many people I've had tell me, oh, I want to feel good when I leave church? You can feel good when you leave church. Just be really right with Jesus Christ. Pastor Phil said, if you're tailgating Jesus, you never have to worry about getting lost. You don't want to feel good? and be wandering from God. Then you won't feel good, because you shouldn't feel good, because only false prophets say, you will have peace, to those who despise him. Only false prophets say to those who are following their own stubborn ways, no harm will come to you. Now, I'm not just talking about me here. Now we've got to talk about you. What do your friends hear? Do they think no harm's going to come to them, even though they live in stubbornness? Here's the second thing. It says, but if they had stood in my counsel, if they had stood in my counsel, verse 22, they would have proclaimed my words to the people. And number two, and, here's number two, here's the second thing, they would have turned them from their evil ways and from their evil deeds. What's the true message you need to turn from your evil ways and your evil deeds? You know how many preachers are telling people today, you don't have to turn? I know seminaries that have ruined people. I know some by name. By telling them, you don't even need to turn from sin to be saved. Just believe in Jesus and it doesn't matter what you do. But God says if you don't tell people to turn from their wicked ways and their evil deeds, you are a false prophet. If you really stood in God's counsel, here's what you'd say. People, you need to turn. People, you need to turn. Turn around, turn around, turn around, turn around. Do you know how absolutely central that is to being a person of God? Let me show you a passage in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 3. Edie Holly the other night, Bible study, asked this question. Edie Holly the other night asked this question. And it's one that everybody ought to ask, and then they ought to answer it in a real serious way. Here's what it says. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18. Here's what God says. When I say to the wicked man, you will surely die. Has God said to the wicked man, you will surely die? And you, who's that to? Every prophet and every priest. If you're a true believer, are you a priest? Is this your message? Is this my message? When I say to a wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him. What's the word dissuade mean? To change him? What's the word that's just like it? Persuade. Same root word, swayed. Per is to push forward, dis is to push back. Does persuade do more than just giving them a little warning? Is persuade arguing with them, debating with them, pleading with them, praying for them? Does dissuade and persuade include all of those things? It certainly does. When I speak to a wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life. That wicked man will die for his sins. But, look at the next verse. And, here's a second thing. And, I will hold you accountable for his blood. God says, I will hold you responsible for him not hearing. Young person, and you go to Clearview Middle School. How many kids are there at Clearview Middle School? About 850, 900, something like that. About 400, 450 a class now. Janet's going higher. Is it higher than that now? So there's 1,800 in those two. There's 1,800 in your school? There's only about 1,700 or 1,800 in the high school. Yeah. 450, 500. It's been going up. It hadn't doubled every year. Yeah. 900, 1,000 people. How many of them know that if they don't turn, they're going to perish? You know, the wonderful thing is, when I got saved and went into the high school, about a tenth of the high school got saved, but here's the thing, every person in my high school, and it was a lot smaller, it was only 600 kids in my whole middle school and high school together. Maybe a little more, maybe 700. But every one of them, for the 4 years, 2.5 years I was saved, half of 10th, all of 11th, all of 12th, every kid that came through that school during that time at least had the opportunity to hear the gospel. Every one of them were warned, no blood. No blood. How about you? Is there blood on your hands? He says, if you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man, and he doesn't turn from his wickedness or from his wicked ways, he will die for his sin, but you have saved yourself. Think God means that? I do. You say, no, I don't. That was Old Testament. I don't believe it. That's Old Testament stuff. Doesn't apply to me today. Okay, let's look. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Look with me at Acts chapter 20. Here we are. Acts chapter 20. Are you there with me? Acts chapter 20. Verse 25, Acts chapter 20, verse 25. Now, I know Paul's talking to the Ephesian elders. He's not talking to godless people. He's not preaching to the crowds at Athens. He's talking to the Ephesian elders. He's talking to leaders in the church, spiritual people, people that every single one of us should want to be like. Every one of us should be saying, oh, I want to be like these people that Paul spoke to, because he's speaking to the Ephesian elders. The Bible says if anyone desires to be an elder, they desire a good thing. God says you ought to desire to be as much of a spiritual leader as you can be one, and any opportunity you get, you ought to jump at it, because it's a thing to be desired. Here's what he says. He says, but I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men. What's he talking about? Oh. He must be talking about what Jeremiah said, right? If you don't warn the guilty man, you are... I'll hold his blood accountable to you. But if you do warn him, you're innocent, even if he perishes. Oh. So Paul must have thought that Ezekiel still applied to his day, to the church age. That God was going to hold him accountable for the people he could have spoke to and didn't, or spoke to and didn't tell them the truth. Didn't dissuade them, didn't warn them, didn't push them, didn't prod them, didn't try to do everything in their power. Paul must have believed that he would be held accountable for the blood of men, because he could say, therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men. Why? For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Let me ask you, how many people at work If you're a true believer, how many people at work are going to point a finger at you and say, you never warned me? How many young people, how many kids at school are going to point a finger at you and say, you didn't warn me? I sat in your class. I sat at your lunch table. I visited your house. I cut your hair. I serviced your car. I packed the groceries. God showed me the whole of my life, and there you were, and I was packing your groceries, and you did nothing to warn me that I was going to perish. I remember a debate that a godly man was having with an atheist a while ago, and at the end of the debate, the atheist turned to the godly man and said, I know that hell is not true, because if I really believed that hell was true, I would never act the way you Christians act. I would spend my whole life trying to warn people not to go there. Now you say, why are you pushing this so much? Why are you making such a big deal out of this? Turn back with me to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. Look with me, Jeremiah chapter 23, look with me at verse 16. Here's what Jeremiah did. Jeremiah didn't just go out, and he didn't just say, here's the word of the Lord, listen to it or not. Jeremiah didn't just go out and say, okay, I'm going to preach to you the truth, you can hear it or not. Here's what Jeremiah did. He said, this is what the sovereign Lord says, do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. He preached against the false preachers. God said, don't listen to those preachers. Don't listen to those prophets. They fill you with false hope. What false hope? Well, we've looked at it. To those who despise me, you say, you will have peace. To those who follow the stubbornness of their heart, they say, no harm will come to you. That was the false hope. There is no hope to those who despise God. There is no hope to those who say, church is stupid, the Bible's dumb, I could care less. Oh, I'm a Christian, but you think I ought to go to church all the time? Are you nuts? There's no hope for that person. There's no hope for the person that says, ah, the Bible says, who cares? Bible schmibel. There's no hope for that person. And any hope they're given is false hope at best. He preached against the prophets. He said they speak visions of their own minds. He said they're just making it up, folks. Oh, but they've got a following. And they did in Jeremiah's day. Oh, there were popular prophets in Jeremiah's day, just like today. They filled big pulpits and the people crowded to hear them because people like to hear good things. They like to be told everything's okay. Things are going to get better. There isn't a just God that's going to say you're living in sin, America, so judgment will come upon you. Church starts up right here in Gloucester County, New Jersey. Has a handful of people. 2 years later, it has over 400 on a Sunday morning. Why is that? On the side of their bus that they drive to their location with all their stuff, the Prosperity Church? Who doesn't want to hear, hey, just give God a little wink and a nod and God will just dump stuff on you? Who doesn't want to hear that? But they're lying to you. And Jeremiah doesn't just ignore them and say, well, just preach the truth. Jeremiah calls them the liars that they are because he says that's what God says. I was listening to God, Jeremiah says. I stood in His counsel. I heard what He had to say. And He said, do not listen to what these false prophets are preaching to you. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. Folks, we need to make a decision deep in our bones. Are we going to unapologetically preach the true gospel, even if people don't want to hear it, and not apologize for it, not compromise about it, not feel inferior because we are small in number, or because ours is not the popular message? Are we going to ignore the success mantra that the false prophets have wrapped themselves in? Well, if God wasn't blessing me, why would I not have what I have? Are we going to ignore that falderal and say, I'm going to be one who stands in the counsel of God? And as a priest of God, here is my message. Hear it loud and clear. It is not enough for us to grudgingly accept the truth, because it's the truth. It's not enough to say, well, you know, I go to Sewell Church because, you know, it's true, but it's not enough. Look with me, and with this we're done, and our time is over, but look with me at Jeremiah 15, 16. Turn with me to Jeremiah 15, 16. Here it is, Jeremiah 15, 16. When your words came, let me ask you, am I preaching God's word for this specific group of people for this specific day, yes or no? Have I shown you conclusively from the word of God, this is God's message, God's counsel for this group of people on this day, yes or no? When your words came, I ate them. And they were my pity party because I had to hear these bad things. What's Jeremiah say? And they were my joy and my delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. If you bear His name, you ought to be walking out of this place saying, hallelujah, I stood in the counsel of God. The other side of that is Jeremiah 4:10. Will you turn with me? And with this, we're done. Jeremiah 4:10. I'm sorry, 6:10. Jeremiah 6:10. Jeremiah 6:10, will you turn with me there? Jeremiah 6:10. To whom can I speak? This is what Jeremiah asks, what God asks even more so. To whom can I speak? Who can God speak to today? Who can I speak and give warning? Who will listen to me? Their ears are closed, so they cannot hear. The word of the Lord is what? Offensive. They find no pleasure in it. I remember a discussion I had with someone a long time ago, and they said, I wish God had just stopped speaking to me. I said, if you don't have the attitude that anything God says, no matter how bad it sounds, is a blessed thing, God will definitely stop speaking to you, and then you'll understand how terrible that is. Do you take pleasure in being in the counsel of God and hearing His voice, no matter how harsh the message may sound? God says, if not, then you're one of those who has ears that are closed that they cannot hear. If you don't take pleasure in the message. What's the message? This exact same message that Jeremiah was receiving. This is the message God was judging, whether their ears were open or whether they were closed. On one thing, did they delight in the message? Jeremiah did. Horrible message. Painful message. He delighted in it. The other people said, I can't hear you, I can't hear you, I can't hear you. Or they said, all right, I have to listen, but I don't like it. And God said their ears were closed. Folks, let me assure you of one thing. There are thousands of churches in America today, 300,000 churches. I guarantee you that there is a handful that heard this message today. I'm not saying that to say, oh, look at us, we're good. I'm saying that because we have a responsibility. This is not a calling to privilege. Oh, isn't it great? We got a church that preaches. No. Uh-uh. We've got a responsibility. If you're a true believer, you are a priest that need to take this message to people who didn't hear it this morning. When you talk to somebody and say, did you go to church? Now, oh yeah, I was at my church today. How many of them do you think heard this message? You're the priest that God's holding accountable to warn them. Those prophets are lying to you. Who are you to tell me that? Just somebody who stood in the counsel of the Lord. Just somebody that stood in the counsel of the Lord. And if you're not saved today, if you have not surrendered your life, or if you're wandering from Christ and you're going, you know, I did believe, but I'm kind of, I don't know. Let me warn you, there is no peace. God will harm you, and it will be horrible if you do not come and bow before Him. Turn today. If you once walked with Christ and you've walked away, run back to Him. Don't waste a second. Your heart's grown cold, and your mind is occupied with other things. Run to Jesus. Don't take one more second. You've been despising the things of God, filling your life up with other stuff, with the things of the world, and just saying, oh, I'm too busy, I can't do that, I've got other responsibilities, I've made these commitments. Drop them. Take warning. And if you're right with Jesus Christ today, you go out and you preach this message with everything that's in you, and you don't let people give you no for an answer. You don't let them say, who do you think you are? My preacher says, my church teaches, my prophet says, we're just fine. Well, good for him. He's a liar and a destroyer. And I'll tell it to your face. Because I stood in the counsel of God. Oh, you think you're something special? Nope. But I did stand in the counsel of God. Let's bow. Lord, there's people today that need to do business with you. There are some people here who are not right with you today. Just like those false prophets, they may look good on the outside, but inside they are not right. Lord, I pray that they would turn from their wicked way, from foul language, from sexual sin, from busyness and idleness and worshiping idols, as Janet talked about how easy it is. That they would turn before they burn. Oh God, I pray that they would be so alarmed at this message that they wouldn't even sleep until they made absolutely sure, right with Jesus, right with Jesus, right with Jesus. I pray for that person who's been soft on the message, who said, oh, we just go to a little church, who knows, you know, there's a lot of people that are right out there, it's okay, not everything's... And there are people that are right out there, but there are an awful lot who aren't, who are preaching just like those false prophets in Jeremiah's day. And we now know how to tell who's who, because if they'd stood in the counsel of God, here's what they'd have said. And if they're not, they didn't stand there, no matter who they think they are. God, give us boldness to not be intimidated by lack of success, by lack of numbers, but say the truth is the truth if no one believes it, and a lie is a lie if everyone follows it. In Jesus' name.